Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, sing it, Jing. It's Dominic the Donkey. Jing it, Jing. It's Highland Christmas Donkey. La, la, la.
My dear brothers and sisters, and God bless you. Welcome to another broadcast of Jackass Bishop News. That was Louis Monty singing his one and only hit, Dominic the Donkey. It's interesting to note, my dear brothers and sisters, and before I even get ahead of myself, let me just wish you all a wonderful holiday. I hope and pray that you had a wonderful time of celebration, a wonderful time in the Lord, a wonderful time with family and friends, a wonderful time of good health and merriment, and also that you use this time to share your faith, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, with those who do not know him. Well, as you know, my brothers and sisters, I've been highlighting this fact for quite some time, but Rome, the people of Rome, the Romans, the Roman Catholic Church, if you will, Italians, They have this obsession with donkeys. It's a craze. And I made this point when I went on our sister Susan Puzio's broadcast back on November the 19th of this year when we first launched the book Jackass Bishops. I made it a point to highlight the fact that people from Italy, people from Rome, Romans, ancient Romans, medieval Romans, present-day Romans, they have this ongoing love affair with the jackass. And it was important to highlight that in the book, Jackass Bishops, because this obsession with the jackass has rubbed off on many people from many nations who never gave the jackass or the donkey a second. But once you become one with Rome, then you also develop this obsession with the jackass. And if you haven't gotten your copy of Jackass Bishops, I would encourage you to do so, because the whole thesis of the book is to show you, the reader, to show you, the saint, the believer in Christ, that we are in the last days. You're asking yourself, and this broadcast, today's broadcast, is based on some recent emails that I got, because some concerned saints are asking me, why is it that their pastor slash bishop thinks so foolish of late? It's like they've noticed that recently their pastor has become crazy. Their pastor has become what we call mad. Mad as a hatter. Remember the book Alice in Wonderland, the term mad as a hatter, the mad hatter? Well, some folk have been emailing me. They've been listening to the program, and they are saying, I don't get it. This once sane minister who was our pastor today has become so insane. They are obsessed with their Roman Catholic outfits. They're wearing their crosses, their huge crosses like Roman Catholic priests. They're wearing the Roman Catholic cassocks during regular Sunday services. I mean, they're wearing their little zucchettas, their little beanies, their little circular, what they call skull caps. And they have the huge Episcopal rings. And they are now starting to spout Latin phrases and, you know, a little Latin, a little apostolic, the Apostles' Creed. They're having the church now recite the Apostles' Creed. And they're saying, what's going on? I don't get it. This just happened overnight. My pastor now is going around calling himself bishop-elect, and he's talking to us about how he's got to take some courses and he's got to study, and because he's about to be elevated. He's about to be elevated. And so I'm doing this broadcast to give you a biblical answer. Because everything that goes on today during this prophetic season, because we are in the last days. Folks, we are walking out prophecy today. We are the end time remnant church. And right before our very eyes, prophecy is being fulfilled. This is why this whole series of books putting together and going to make available to the public, the first one being Jackass Bishops, is so critical, because I want to prove to you that we're in the last days. I want to encourage you to get closer to the Lord. I want to exhort you to get into your Bible. I'm going to exhort you to find and get together with such like-minded believers, because execution is coming to those who do not get on this jackass bishop bandwagon. The first book, Jackass Bishops, is so critical because It even answers the emails that I've been getting. Why is it that my pastor, who was so sane, has now become insane, talks insane, acts like an insane man? How could somebody who was once so level-headed today seem so foolish and childish and immature? Why is someone who never talked about Rome can't wait to get into bed with Rome? The answer is simple. And the answer is in the Bible, and the answer is prophetic. These are prophetic verses we're going to be turning to. Prophetic verses answer our troubling questions today. If your bishop is acting asinine, if your pastor is acting asinine, if he's acting foolish and stupid and crazy, well, the answer is simple. He's in league with Rome. He's in league with Rome. And everything that Rome touches, it turns into a jackass. That's why the book, Jackass Bishops. The book is so critical because I lay out for you a history. I document. I give you footnotes. You get to see what you. In other words, we present you with the evidence. Ironclad proof. Irrefutable, can't refute the evidence. It's in the history books. This is why, again, I also made it a point to mention on that broadcast with Sister Puzio on the 19th of November, I also made mention, and of course, this is all having to do with the Roman people, with the Italian people, in the third movie of The Godfather, and the people who have a crime family, the nation who has this thing, which other nations have copied. I mean, now you have the Russian mafia, now you have the Black mafia, now you have the Mexican mafia. But the original mafia was completely Italian. And the trilogy on The Godfather was three movies that highlighted the rise of the Italian mafia in the United States. Well, by the time you get to Godfather 3, an assassin is hired. An Italian assassin is hired in Italy to kill the Godfather, who is visiting Italy. And the calling card of this Italian assassin is the hee-hawing of a donkey. You see, whether in pop culture, whether in a Christmas song like this by Louis Monti, Dominic the Donkey, or whether, you know, in movies like The Godfather, you cannot escape the fact that the Roman people, past, present, and future, have this obsession with the jackass, and that everyone who comes into league with them also becomes obsessed with the jackass, so much so to the point where they take on the personality of a jackass. Now, let me play the beginning of this song again, because I want you to hear clearly and notice the singer's Italian. The singer's Italian, Louis Monti. He's Italian. He's not singing about reindeers. Not singing about Rudolph. He's singing about a donkey. A donkey called Dominic. And he says he's the Italian donkey. And where does this Italian donkey have his ministry with Santa, supposedly? Well, in Italy. Let's listen.
Hey, sing it again. It's Dominic the Donkey.
Reindeers can't climb up the reindeers, Rudolph and Blitzer and Comet. They can't climb the hills of Italy. So that's why Santa needs poor Dominic the donkey, the beast of burden. Now, this is the only group of people on the face of the earth that have this obsession with the jackass. I mean, I can prove this over and over and over again. And so if you're asking, why is my pastor acting so stupid? Why does he sound so silly? Why does the man just, what comes out of his mouth as of late is complete gibberish? Why? Well, simple. He's in league with Rome. And Rome turns everything into a jackass. In one of the emails that I got, it posed the question, why is my pastor mad? Now, not mad like in the sense of being angry, but mad like in the sense of being crazy. Crazy. Well, the Bible tells us why nations go crazy, why leaders go crazy, why even saints will go crazy. And that's because they have taken a sip from the cup of Babylon. That's right. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 51, verse 7, those who drink of the cup of Babylon go mad. Madness. They turn mad. Not angry. No, not angry. But crazy. Let me read to you from the Oxford Compact Dictionary. And I want to look up the term mad. What is mad? When we say that someone is mad, what are we referring to when we say that they are mad? Well, this is what is meant when we turn to the Oxford. To be mad means to be mentally ill. This is from the Oxford Compact Dictionary, Desk Reference Dictionary. It is to be mad is to be mentally ill. To be mad is to be very foolish. To be mad is to be not sensible, impulsive, confused, or frenzied. That's the first thing that appears when you look up the word mad. It is akin to madness. Madness. You become crazy. You become unhinged. Right here in my Oxford Compact Dictionary, the first word, to be mad is an adjective. It's what it is. It describes what you become. And as an adjective, the first thing mentioned here in the Oxford Dictionary is, to be mad is to be mentally ill. To be mentally ill. So, yes, people are concerned. They look to the pulpit on Sunday and they see a nut up there. They see a nut having on a nut outfit. They're looking at a nutty person. They're looking at a person who's flipped their wig. They're looking at a person who is making no sense. They are looking at a person and hearing a person that what comes out of their mouth is unreasonable. You leave the church scratching your head and you're saying, do we need to call in the people that have the straight jackets in the paddy wagon? Now, that's the first thing mentioned in the Oxford Dictionary. If you are mad, you are mentally ill. So that's why today's broadcast, which is based on your recent emails, why is my pastor, who was once sane, now so insane? Very simple. Jeremiah the prophet tells us that when you drink of the cup of Babylon, you become mad. You become mentally ill. Is it making sense now, folks, how your pastor, who was once a sane person, has now become insane? This is why the title of the book on Jackass Bishops, let me refresh your memory. The secondary title is How the African American Church Has Been Reduced to New Spiritual Lows by its joint college of asinine, hee-hawing bishops. Now, what does Dominique the Donkey do in his... what does Dominique the Donkey do? Listen to this. Listen. Does he not hee-haw? Yes, he does. Listen.
Hey, jingety-jing, it's Dominique the Donkey, jingety-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey.
Did you hear him? He was saying hee-haw, hee-haw. Because that's what donkeys do. That's what donkeys do. They just hee-haw, hee-haw. So, title, the main title, Jackass Bishops. But the secondary title is How the African American Church Has Been Reduced to New Spiritual Lows by its joint college of asinine. Asinine, hee-hawing bishops like Dominique the Donkey. Yes, my brothers and sisters, your pastor has become insane. Your pastor is a loon. Your pastor has many loose screws. Yes, your pastor has lost his marbles, if you will. Because he has, or she has, taken some sips out of the cup of Babylon. And that cup will make you mad or mentally ill or crazy. Does it make sense now? Does the Bible, did Jeremiah happen to answer? Did Jeremiah, just one verse, Jeremiah 51:7 gives us the answer. The reason why your pastor / bishop crazy is because he has been drinking of the cup of devils. He's been drinking of the cup because the cup of Babylon is the cup of devils. Doctrines of demons. Paul said, in the last days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and what? And doctrines of devils. Then he goes on to say, to give us a clue as to who are these people now, who are these people peddling this doctrine, this teaching of seducing spirits and doctrines, who are they? Well, first of all, they forbid to marry. They forbid. Now, who's big in forbidding to marry? Who has promoted celibacy for the last 1,700 years? What group, what religious group has promoted celibacy? Well, that's the Roman Catholic Church. That's Mystery Babylon of Revelation 17. Then what does Paul say? He says not only do they forbid marriage, letting us know he's speaking of Rome. Then he goes on to say, and they also forbid certain kinds of foods. Now, you know, what does Rome do? Well, according to the Roman Catholic pagan / religious calendar, don't they forbid you from eating meat? Don't they forbid the eating of certain foods? Yes, they do. Doctrines of demons. You can't eat meat on Good Friday, can you? You can't eat meat. You can't eat a good, nice steak on Good Friday. No. Got to eat fish. Why are they focusing on the fish? Well, look at their little hats, their little miter hats. So fish mouth, Dagon. It's not about St. Peter. It's not about being fishers of men. It's not. No, folks, no. No, demons. They've departed from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And when people participate with the Roman Catholic Church, they are drinking of the cup of demons. The cup of Babylon is the cup that makes one mad, makes one mentally ill, makes one crazy. Been drinking a lot out of that cup, and that's why his transformation is so manifest, because he's been drinking out of the cup of Rome. And when you drink out of the cup of Rome, Rome changes you. Rome transforms you. Rome messes you up. Yes, it does. Yes, let me play a clip here. Here's a clip from an Elevation service. And they're elevating some bishops, and these are Roman Catholic. Well, this is a black church, of course. These bishops are being elevated, and what's being put on them is Roman Catholic garb, Roman Catholic wear. Now listen to this Elevation service. Listen to this nonsense, if you will. And not only is the chief consecrator gone mad, not only has the co-consecrators gone mad, not only are those being elevated to bishop gone mad, but you will listen to the entire congregation drinking from the cup of Babylon. They too have gone mad. Listen to this. Now, you listen to this and you think God is there. God's not there. God's not there. And the whole crowd is jumping. There are people running around. There are people supposedly falling out in the spirit. There are others with their hands lifted up and their eyes are closed. There are others who are speaking in tongues. I'm watching the video as I'm playing the audio, and this is just a whole group gone mad. This is a whole group become mentally, because none of this is of God. None of this is of God. But here's more. Now, you see how they're praising God? You see how they're, in the Hebrew, it's called halal. H-A-L-A-L. Halal. That's the Hebrew word halal means to praise God. And when you praise him, you go out of control. It's like, it's pretty much like the word fan. You watch the World Series and you watch a team score some runs, and you will see their fans go crazy in the stands, right? Crazy. You know, and that's why the fan is short for fanatic. So when we praise the Lord, we are everything that have breath, let it what? Praise the Lord. Let it halal the Lord. Let it go crazy over the person of the Lord. Now, these people are doing a halal, but they're not crazy for God. They've gone crazy. And I'm going to prove it by means of the word. But let's continue to listen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. of the necessary garments for this office.
Now they're going to start putting on the garments, the bishop's garments. Garments Jesus never gave his apostles when he ordained them. Garments the apostles never gave the elders when they ordained elders. All of this garment stuff is pagan. It came into existence in the 5th century A.D. But here are these people. They are in a church service, and they've gone mad, crazy mad. And they just had a praise break. But God's not in this. The band's into it. The singer's into it. The choir's into it. The consecrators are into it. But God is not in this.
Bishops, if you'll turn around so they can see you.
Are you hearing that? Are you hearing the praise for man? The chief consecrator tells the bishops to turn around so that the people can see them. And now you see the people going crazy over these bishops. One of the books that we are putting together for you, one of the volumes is called Nehushtan Bishops. A Nehushtan is an idol. These bishops now have become idols. And this is what you have. Nehushtan bishops. I'm going to play it again when he says turn around so that the people can see you. And when the people get to see them, the crowd goes crazy, like mentally ill. Listen to this.
I just came to represents that in the early church, when the saints were being martyred, they would come after the leaders first. And what they would do...
Are you hearing this craziness? The early church. No one in the early church wore collars. No one in the early church wore Roman Catholic collars. But here's this crazy fool trying to tell you that these bishops are wearing collars because it goes all the way back to the early church.
Of the necessary garments for this office. Bishops, if you'll turn around so they can see you. Now, if we was doing this differently, y'all wouldn't do all this shouting till the end. But I just can't help myself. They are wearing currently a collar. It is a full band collar, because it represents that in the early church, when the saints were being martyred, they would come after the leaders first. And what they would do, the saints would weld a metal band around their neck. And
everything he's saying has no historical substantiation. This guy's pulling this stuff out of the Twilight Zone. But they go on for another 30 minutes talking about each piece of the investiture, all the pieces of the garments. And let's move on. Let's move on to another clip. Here is another man talking about putting on the vestments on another individual. This is another chief consecrator putting on the vestments on another bishop. Here's more crazy talk.
Your roles become in this business. This is Calvary. It's glorious, but it's dangerous. It looks good. But this kind of stuff will get you killed. You'll die.
Now, all of these bishops who put on these robes, not one of them has been killed. Not one. See, the chief consecrator is talking crazy. He says, when you wear these garments will get you killed. Well, there hasn't been one black bishop who's put on all of those fancy clothes and all of those fancy robes. Not one of them has been killed. They all live like kings. They all live like pharaohs. Not one of these people. Now, this lying chief consecrator says, when you wear this, this is akin to Calvary. You wear these clothes, you're a marked man, and you're going to be killed. No, not one's been killed. This is crazy talk. Crazy talk. Which is the conning business.
This is Calvary.
No, it is not. Calvary is a cross. Calvary is not about robes. When Jesus hung on the cross, he had no robe on. It's not Calvary. This guy's lying. Calvary's about a cross, an old rugged cross.
This is Calvary. It's glorious, but it's dangerous. It looks good, but this kind of stuff will get you killed. You'll die.
Well, none of these guys, none of these clowns wearing these outfits have died. Again, what is crazy? What is when one is mad? What does it mean? Well, let me go now to my Oxford compact thesaurus. Well, to be mad is to be insane, certifiably deranged, demented, of unsound mind, out of one's mind, not in one's right mind, sick in the head, crazy, crazed, unhinged, disturbed, raving, psychotic, psychopathic, mad as a hatter. Are you listening to this? Are you listening to this fool who's telling this guy, look at these robes, and when you put on these robes, you're putting a target on your back. When you put this on, you're asking to die. Well, there are literally, I would say, 100 bishops getting robed every Saturday, because that's when they're holding these consecration services. They're holding them on Saturdays at a record pace. And there are literally new inductees into the Joint College of African American Bishops. I haven't seen one death yet on CNN, Fox News, World News Tonight, MSNBC. I haven't seen one death. But this nut, this chief consecrator, is telling them, oh, these are the garments of Calvary. All of these guys who wear these silk outfits, these silk robes, these huge rings, these huge crosses, they all live like kings. All of them. None of them know anything about the cross. They don't know anything. Again, according to the Oxford Thesaurus, to be mad is to be insane, certifiably deranged, demented, unsound of mind, out of one's mind, not in one's right mind, sick in the head, crazy, crazed, unhinged, disturbed, psychotic, psychopathic, mad as a hatter. It goes on to say, nutty, off one's rocker, not right in the head, cuckoo, cracked, loony, bananas, screwy, schizoid. Should I go on? Here's this nut one more time.
Your robes become, in this business, this is Calvary. It's glorious, but it's dangerous. It looks good, but this kind of stuff will get you killed. You'll die. It'll kill your nerves. It'll kill your relationships. It'll kill you. And if you seek to save your life, it is the garment in which the bishop celebrates the sacraments of our redemption. Holy Communion. Ordination. Consecration. Whatever is particular to his office, it represents the purity with which the blood by which the blood is applied to the church. And the next garment is called the shamir. This is the prophet's coat. It is a symbol of the chief preacher of the diocese and of the organization.
The chief preacher of the diocese. When did we start having diocese? Well, as soon as we started to drink out of the cup of Babylon. That's when we started to have diocese. Here's another video. Here's another one. Here's another one. Listen to this. You're not going to believe what you're going to hear.
A ring, a symbol of government and collegiality with her fellow bishops. She is one among all of us. This is her ring, symbol of authority. And we respect her truthfully. You don't really grab a bishop and hug a bishop. Put it on. Get it on. Make you get it on. Okay. You respect the bishop by saluting her ring. That's your way of saying, I honor you. You don't just reach your hand out and shake hands with a bishop. You let a bishop extend his or her hand first.
Teach, bishop.
Ah. Oh, I didn't know that. Just run up. How you be? Put your hand down and just speak.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, gentlemen with class know when she extends her hand with that ring, we just simply salute her by kissing the ring. We ain't got to hug and squeeze and bang her into us. Don't do that. She's a bishop. She's a bishop.
Jesus said, if your hand cause you to sin, if you have a hand that likes to be worshipped, that's a sin. Jesus said, if you have a hand that causes you to sin, cut it off. For it would be better for you to go into heaven maimed. You better lose that hand that is making you sin. And that's the sin of idolatry. When he encourages this bishop to extend her hand. Now, when she extends her hand, what is she asking for? For worship. But aren't we only supposed to worship God? He says, don't hug her anymore. From this point on, don't hug her. Don't shake her hand. No, you genuflect. You bow and you kiss her ring. That's how you honor her. No, that's called idolatry. Now, where did this chief consecrator get that foolishness from? Well, he's been drinking out of the cup of Babylon. It is the cup of Babylon that makes one mad. The cup of Babylon is the cup of devils. The cup of Babylon is the cup of abominations. You see, your bishop, the reason why he's acting crazy, the reason why he's acting asinine, the reason why he's acting like a hee-hawing jackass, very simple. Jeremiah 51. Let's turn to Jeremiah 51. Let's turn to Jeremiah 51. And we're going to begin at verse 6 to give you some context. But in your leisure, I would encourage you to read all of Jeremiah 51. But because of time, we're going to begin at verse 6. And the main verse is verse 7. But we will stop at verse number 8. It says, Jeremiah 51:6, flee out of the midst of Babylon. What is the prophet Jeremiah encouraging? The saints, get out of Babylon. flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. I'm responsible for my soul. You're responsible for your soul. You got two legs. I got two legs. Spiritually speaking, metaphorically speaking, figuratively speaking, Jeremiah is telling us, he's telling us to get out. Get out of the pagan church. Get out of Babylon. Everyone is responsible for their own soul. Jeremiah 51:6, flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his own soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her her recompense. Babylon have been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. In other words, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God uses everything in creation to fulfill his will and purpose. And right now, right now, right now, the Roman Catholic Church is a cup of gold in the Lord's hands. Well, what does that mean? Is God in cahoots with the Roman? No, he's not in cahoots. But the Roman Catholic Church is fulfilling biblical prophecy. See, the Roman Catholic Church is fulfilling Revelation 17 and 18. That's what that means, that she's a cup in the Lord's hands. In other words, God controls everything. Satan thinks he's in control. Satan thinks, no. It's really the sovereignty of God. It's the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. God ruleth in every aspect. And Rome and Satan and Antichrist, the false prophet, demons, they are all being used to fulfill prophecy. So it goes on to say, Babylon have been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made, this is speaking of Babylon, all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad, or halal in Hebrew. Halal means, in this context, it means to be crazy, to be mad, to be insane, to have no marbles, to have a lot of loose screws, to act asinine, to be hee-hawing. See, that's what Babylon does. And what is Babylon? Babylon is Rome. Rome is Babylon. They're one and the same. The Roman Catholic Church has derived most of her doctrines of devils. She stole them. She plagiarized them. Most of what the Roman Catholic Church does, she copied all of it from Babylon. That's why in Revelation 17, she's called Mystery Babylon. The Roman Catholic Church is Mystery Babylon. The Roman Catholic Church is yes, geographically in Rome, but spiritually, she's Babylon. It goes on to say, in verse number 8, Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. How for her? Take balm for her pain, if so be that she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go everyone to his own country. For her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and is lifted even up to the skies. In other words, her hour of judgment has come. Babylon, everyone who drank from her cup became crazy, became demented. This is why you can see right now your pastor right now is sticking his hand out for you to kiss his ring. He's expecting you now to also drink of the cup of Babylon, because he drank from it. How do you know he drank from the cup? Because he's extending his hand. Now he's expecting you to drink from the cup, and that he's expecting you to bow and kiss the ring. And if you do so, you would have drunken out of the cup of Babylon. Because what does Babylon do? What does she promote? Babylon promotes idolatry. Let me give you a scripture. Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 21. 1 Samuel 21. Verse 13, 14, and 15. 1 Samuel 21. Verse 13, 14, and 15. David, King David, when he was on the run, when he was not yet king, he found himself among the Philistines. And they were very suspect of David. They didn't trust David. They thought he was a spy. And in one situation, David said, I better act crazy, because if I don't act crazy, they will kill me, because they're going to think I'm a spy. They think I'm here to gain intelligence. They think I'm here to gain some information, some battle strategy. So I better act crazy. I better act mad. And if I act mad, then they'll just say, he's just a nut. Let him go on his way. Don't harm him. He's just a nut. He's just an insane person. He's lost his marbles. And it's the same word that is found in Jeremiah 51:7, halal. So let's read, and you'll get the picture now. It says in 1 Samuel 21:13, and he, David, changed his behavior before the Philistines, and he feigned, or he acted himself mad in their presence, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. In other words, he started to drool, he started to spit, he started to act like an insane person in front of the Philistines. David began to act crazy. Began to do what crazy people did, because he had to convince the Philistines that he was not a spy or a traitor, but simply that he was a crazy man. He was acting. And they believed him. They were about to give him an Academy Award because he did such a great job, because that's what crazy people do. It goes on to say in verse 14, then said Achish, who happens to be the king of the Philistines, unto his servants, lo, you see the man is mad. He's halal. He's off his rocker. Achish said he's off his rocker. The guy's demented. The guy is mentally ill. Achish said, he's mad. He's halal. Wherefore, why have you brought him to me? He's useless. I need a soldier. I need a warrior. I don't need a nut. I don't need a crazy man. I need an extreme fighter. And you're bringing me this crazy man? The king said he's useless to me. He's useless. Then verse number 15. Have I need of madmen? Do I need more like him? For you have brought me this fellow to play the madman in my presence. Shall this fellow come into my house? Am I going to expose my wife and my children? Am I going to expose the dearest ones to me to this nut? Get him out of here. He's a nut. So if your pastor is acting like a nut, we go back to Isaiah, or rather Jeremiah 51:7, that says, those who drink of the cup of Babylon become halal. They become mad. Now, saints, let me remind you of what it says in Revelation 14. Remember Revelation 14, verse 8? Let's quickly go to Revelation 14, verse 8. in case you forgot, that the Roman Catholic Church, present-day Babylon, has a cup in her hand. Revelation 14, verse 8, it says, "And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." You see, she has a cup. Babylon has a cup. In this instance, the cup is focusing on her fornications or her pollutions. What's in the cup, the content of the cup. In Revelation 17, it talks about how her cup is full of abominations. Let's go to Revelation 17. Revelation 17, verse 1. Let's read together. Revelation 17, verse 1.
"And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters."
Now Babylon was that city that sat upon many waters. Babylon sat on many waters. She's called the great whore. And here, as we're being introduced to Babylon, it says, "I will show unto thee the judgment." What do we read in Jeremiah 51:7? Judgment is coming. God is sending the prophet Jeremiah to tell the people to leave Babylon. Every man carry his own soul. The theme throughout Scripture is Babylon will be judged. Babylon is enjoying herself. Babylon is living it up. Babylon is having a party. Babylon is it. Babylon is it. Everyone wants to party with Babylon, but she's on God's docket for judgment. God will judge her. And this is the theme throughout. Let's continue reading verse 2 and following.
"With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication."
There you go again. The wine, like it says in Revelation 14:8, the wine of her fornication. Here it's emphasizing the sexual immorality, the spiritual sexual immorality.
"So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication."
And verse 4, "The woman was arrayed in what colors? Purple and scarlet. What are the colors of these garments that these bishops are putting on every Saturday? Every time they do an elevation service, what are the two main colors? Purple and scarlet. What else are they giving? Gold ring, gold crosses, the bishop's ring, the pectoral cross, precious stones, pearls. Also, they're celebrating what they call the Eucharist, the golden cup, the golden chalice, like the Roman Catholic Church, but that cup is full of abominations, as it says here. Let's go to verse number 5.
"And upon her forehead was a name written,
Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth."
Now, the word mystery here has to do with how the Roman Catholic Church is a secret. It's a secret society. Only those who go in and join her discover what the secret is. It's like the Masons. It's like all of these secret societies. When you become a member, then they let you in on the secret. That's why so many outside of Babylon, so many who don't know what's actually going on in the churches and how their bishops have signed on the dotted line and have sold their souls to the devil, a great many saints sitting in the pews don't even know what's going on. Why? Because only those who have been initiated, only those who become part of the club, really know what this secret society is all about. Now, we get to know because God gives us scripture. And we are able to see through the facade. We're able to see through the mystery because the Bible unlocks it. Here's more.
And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth.
The 7 mountains upon which the woman sitteth is the key geographical clue that the Bible gives us. There's only one religious entity that sits on 7 mountains, and that is the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church sits, its property sits, on 7 mountains, 7 hills in Rome proper. Babylon, physical, geographical Babylon, does not have 7 hills. Rome does. It's called Mystery Babylon because, again, the Roman Catholic Church has adopted 90% of the heresy, the doctrine of demons, that once existed in Babylon, the Roman Catholic Church has adopted. So geographically, it's the church in Rome. Spiritually, it is Babylon. It is a meshing of the two. Now, our final scripture comes to us out of 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 14, where Paul writes to the Corinthians. And the first thing he says to them is, flee from idolatry. That's verse 14. Let's, 1 Corinthians 10, beginning at verse 14, and we want to go all the way to verse number 22.
Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons.
Are you hearing that? You cannot participate from the Lord's table, which is a simple table. The Lord's table is a simple table. The cup of the Lord and the bread of the Lord, simple. Of the Lord contains the grape juice. It's symbolic. It represents the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. The cup that we drink from symbolically contains the grape juice, which represents the blood of Jesus, who cancels out your sin and my sin. The cup of Babylon is filled with filth, with abominations and fornications. The cup of Jesus is holy. He lived a holy life. The cup of Babylon is a cup of pollution. The cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. The cup of the Lord. And Paul says here in verse 21, and he is emphatic, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord of devils. You cannot be a partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Now look at verse 22. Verse 22 is critical. Let's listen to what Paul says in verse 22 as he ends this section of chapter 10.
Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he?
In other words, we are the bride of Christ. We are not that harlot church. We're not the harlot church. We're not the harlot. We're not the mother of harlots. We don't belong to her. We are not to provoke the Lord to jealousy. We are engaged to Christ. We belong to him. We are to be presented to him as a chaste virgin. We, as believers, we don't play the field. We are not like the woman who rides the beast on Revelation 17:4, who's called the mother of harlots. We're not her spiritual daughters. We are not also harlots. We shall not provoke the Lord to jealousy. Why? Because we're not stronger than him. Do you think we can survive God's judgment? Let's go one more scripture. Revelation 18. In Revelation 18, it says, verse 8. Revelation 18:8. It says, therefore, speaking of the harlot church, therefore shall her plagues come upon her in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Folks, the prophet Jeremiah told people to get out of Babylon. Run. Get out. The Lord tells us, Paul tells us, you can't partake of the cup of Christ and of the cup of demons. You just can't. It's impossible. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't. Because if you are, you're committing spiritual adultery. To have one foot in fellowship with Christ and another foot in fellowship with demons means you're playing the field. You're not being faithful to the Lord. Why is your pastor mad? Why does he sound demented? Why does he talk like if he's crazy? What's this foolishness about him sticking out his hand and you're going to bow and kiss it? What's that all about? All that comes from drinking the cup, Babylon. And you, my brothers and sisters, you and I must say no to that foolishness. I'll be back tomorrow with another broadcast. I hope and pray that this broadcast was enlightening to you today. I hope and pray that your eyes were opened, that I was able to scripturally answer some of your most troubling questions. And it's simple, folks. This Bible is clear cut. If anyone's crazy in the church today, if anyone is halal, if anyone's lost their mind, If anyone is certifiably demented, if anybody is a candidate for a straitjacket, it's because they've been drinking from the cup of Babylon, which makes men mad. I'll be back tomorrow. God bless you.
Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jingity jing, it's Highly Christmas Donkey. La 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 la. Santa's got a little friend, his name is Dominic, the cutest little donkey. Never see him kick. When Santa visits his prize arms with Dominic, he'll be. Because the reindeer cannot climb the hills of Italy. Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the donkey. Jingity jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La 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 la.
Thank you.